Never heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Lonzo, and Tatiana is in the house, y'all.
Hey, T. Looking crazy, hey.
No. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm okay. I just started back working part-time recently, so that's been a transition, but I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm good. How's Micah?
Can I put him in the camera?
Yeah, that's your call.
Yay!
Hey, Micah.
So if I'm looking off camera, it's because I have something much more adorable to look at than a blank, faceless screen.
Amen. Yeah. You know, I'm gonna speak on it right out the gate, right? So last time you were on, I was asking if you were ready to do the hooks on my songs.
Mm-hmm. I remember you called me out. We did it.
You brought it. So I said I was gonna start off with, like, I bow down and say you handled your business. So I appreciate it.
I'm super excited for when those tracks drop.
Me too. Even though you lost the lyrics you wrote for one of the songs in the studio, but
this guy. You have to bring that up.
I always have to bring this up, man.
Oh my goodness. Unbelievable.
Or forgetting that we were supposed to record this one today.
Oh my goodness. Listen, I don't know if you've heard of mommy brain.
But it's a thing. Okay.
Your brain is meant to just be focusing on the baby. It's supposed to be dividing your attention on other things. And so sometimes things just fall out. If it's not about Mike, it just doesn't stay in. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. No, I definitely cannot. All I can do is just say I concede on that. I hear you, man. So,
yes.
But seriously, you did really do your thing in the studio. I was really proud of what I heard and how you made it your own. So thank you. Yeah. Anything else been going on with you?
You know, I'm supposed to be holding back, but just...
Uh-oh.
I was just going to say, trying to deal with animals and a baby at the same time is team too much.
It's a lot.
It's too much. The dogs are, like, intense. The only animal that's not stressing me out right now is my guinea pig, Hamlet. Hamlet is great. The rest of them, they're stressing me out.
Yeah. And do you think, like, because of Micah, they kind of amped it up, or?
Absolutely. My cat, I used to let him sleep in my room at night. Now he sits outside the door crying if I don't let him in. And I don't want to let him in because I don't want him getting fur all over the baby. And Winston, well, I don't think he amped it up because of the baby. I think he just amped it up because he's used to being outside, and now he's inside, and that's stressing him out. But the cat is definitely amping it up, for sure.
Man. Hey, do you mind, like, because you opened the door, and so you made a post, and you want to kind of mention that, or you want to pass? We can pass.
What post?
You on social media, you sent me the screenshots where some people...
You might have just said...
All right, some people were being very judgmental because you...
Oh, yeah. So
we can pass.
I was basically at a place where I was kind of like, I feel like I need to find some new homes for my animals. And that's something I never thought I would do. Like, I previously, my last round of animals, I had a dog, a cat. I had two dogs and a cat. I had them all from the time that they were as young as they could be to come with you. So I had them, like, I think I got my cat at 6 weeks, one of my dogs at 7 weeks, the other one at 10 weeks, and I had them all up until they died. So I, like, never thought that I would ever be at a place to rehome animals. But we, you know, moved from Mississippi on 5 acres, came here to Atlanta. Now we're in this apartment. Mind you, I already got somebody watching my 2 goats, and, like, I got one there, and I was like, look, you know, transitioning from having 5 acres to being an apartment, like, I'm really just feeling like I'm at a place where I need to rehome my animals. People were being so hateful. They're like, I have 2 dogs, and I'm in an apartment, and I don't really understand why anybody would ever do that, and your animals only need you. They don't need anybody but you, and, like, and I was just like, you don't even know my situation. So I ended up saying, like, I was like, my dog, Winston, he wakes up crying in the middle of the night. He, like, and he will howl. This is a 96-pound dog. He's like, well, he just wakes up in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. He's just crying and howling. The dogs, when I let them, like, play with each other, mind you, one of them is 96 pounds, like 50 pounds, they're romping around. They're making a lot of noise. They don't know the difference of where we're at. Neighbors below me, they're banging on the ceiling with their broom, like, or whatever they're banging on the ceiling. But I don't know, because my dogs are making all this noise. My cat is crying outside the door. When they're doing all this kind of noise, what's it going to do? Wake up the baby. And, like, the baby needs to be asleep. Like, trying to get a baby to sleep through the night is a feat. And I'm just like, I am so stressed out. And so these people who, like, don't know what I'm dealing with, and they just are like, here goes another person rehoming their pet. But I'm like, dude. First of all, I never thought I would do this. And second of all, it must have got a lot to get me to this point. And I was, like, looking online, and people were like, just, oh, when you have a child and then have pets. And, like, I always thought it would be, like, cute videos with a dog and a baby. But I'm like, that's stressing me out. And I'm, like, at my wit's end. Yeah. I actually, what I did is share in that screenshot, I had boarded the dogs for a night. Mm-hmm. And when it got to be time to, like, go and pick them up, like, Micah was, like, not going. I was trying to get him to go to sleep before it was time to pick them up. And he was just, like, crying. He was, like, not trying to go to sleep. It took everything in me to go pick them dogs up. It took everything in me. It was getting close, because they closed at 9 o'clock. It was, like, 8 something. I had been trying to put him to sleep for, like, over an hour. He's just crying. And I was just, like, really wanted to abandon them. I didn't want, and I'm just like, these people do not understand, like, how stressed out I am right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just me being frivolous, but people were just being so judgmental, not knowing the full context of what was going on. And I'm just like, can you, like, it's a lot. And I'm by myself. Like, I am a single parent. I don't have anybody to help me take the dogs. I don't walk them. Like, it's too much. Anyway, you can cut out whatever you want to cut out, but people being super judgmental, not knowing your situation, it's just like, especially on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, people, would you say that to my face? Would you be such a turd to my face?
What they call them, keyboard warriors.
Go be a warrior somewhere else, because, like, I'm going to be like, catch me outside. This is the next door after these are all neighbors. So I'm going to be like, what block you on? Because come over here and say it to my face. Like,
so you getting touched on them, not Tatiana. You getting touched on them.
Yeah, I had to hold back. And I ended up turning off I turned off comment. Dude, now why would you do that?
But, you know, I ask because, you know, things like that are important, because we can get caught up. It's so hard now with social media. It's one thing without it, like, feeling pressure from others. But now, just imagine how that teenager feels when they're getting blasted on social media, because we're adults, because none of us are protected from it. It happened to me when I first started the podcast. I made a post, and someone who I don't know, they could have been from another country, whatever, and they just blasted me about, like, credentials, and, I mean, went on through this whole spiel, and I wanted so badly to respond, and I was about to, and then I was like, you know what, I'm not giving them the satisfaction, you know, but I did like your comments. When you sent me the screenshots, you responded, because sometimes people need to know it's not cool judging others and you have no idea what they're going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when you have a newborn, we know what many mothers go through with a newborn, and then you add dog, because pets are, that's another child, really, is having another child. So
yeah, which is probably why it was never, like, I didn't have a child before when I had all those pets, and like now I'm just like, it's just literally too much. Like I just feel like I'm at the end of my rope. And I'm just like, I don't even want to get, but I just was like trying not to cry, like people like coming at me, and I'm like, dude, like, you don't actually understand, like, I'm not somebody who just like got these pets and it's like, oh, I got bored of you. I'm like, I'm literally going through it over here, and the fact that I even made an effort to get a pet friendly place, like, I obviously brought them here not realizing how terrible it was gonna be. It was terrible, and I'm like, oh, this actually isn't gonna work. And so when they're telling me like, oh, like, your pets only need you, I'm like, dude, my cat has been throwing up. Like, one day he threw up 5 times in one day. I take him to the vet, they charge me $1,000 to tell me that he's just stressed out. He obviously does need more than this. And so if this is actually, like, none of us can be happy then in that kind of circumstance. I'm like, y'all just don't even, y'all just assume. It's just not cool.
It's not. And I'll tell you, for me, like, I learned it in the world of leadership, because no matter, and I was just having this conversation with someone today, that I advice that I gave to someone who actually has moved up the ladder now. And I said, no matter what you do, all the work you put in, there are going to be those who are never happy, and there are going to be people who criticize you. And you really have to, learn how to, like, really brush it off. And especially, like, I think I sent to you, none of them are writing any check. We don't write checks anymore, but you know what I mean. No one's paying anything for you. None of them are watching the pets for you. So it's those are whispers to me, you know. And we're human. We have feelings. So when people do it, it's hard to ignore it. But we have to just keep telling ourselves, you know, it's irrelevant. They don't know. That's the other point of it. They come from a place of... Well, I'm not going to say the word, but they just don't know. Yeah. Hey, Maya. But yeah, so, hey, I want to...
I just want to say I do still write checks, but go on.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Do you say, hey, don't cash it until Monday, or you...
Ew, no. If I write you a check, you better cash that right away, because that makes me irritate. Don't hang on to no check for 6 weeks, and I'm like, what the? I started giving one of my old landlords money orders because he would wait way too long to cash that. Cash the thing right away.
Why do you still use checks? I'm curious now.
Sometimes it just makes sense. I don't even really? I don't know. Sometimes I just...
Now, yeah,
I'll say this, like the vet in Mississippi, for example, they charged a 2.5% like fee. They started charging a fee because I guess it was costing their business money. And so instead of using my card, I started writing checks for them, because I'm like, I'm not paying a 2.5% fee. So that's just an example.
That's a good example. Yeah, I'm not giving you extra money for some. That's frustrating. You know, good. Yeah. So, wow.
I'm sorry. What were you about to say?
No, I was just going to say, I've seen some, like, some people who were up in age, you know, write a check recently.
Virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bag stuff full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub. Turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herbs to hoop cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmers Hub.
Can I talk about this event, man? This is a big deal. You know, first, I got to say this. I don't know why I didn't lead with this. This is the first episode of season 4, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. That's all of us, man. 101 episodes.
So wow, that would be syndication if this was like TV.
I know, right? That would be nice. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I want our listeners to know about the next big event coming to Fuquay Arena. It's on August the 9th at 6 p.m., The Fruits of Artistry. We're going to have gospel artists. We're going to have food, spoken word, more to come on that. So I'll keep you posted. So
if you know who's going to be there.
Yes. Yes. See, now people are going to be, who is she talking about?
Oh, that person might know if they're watching this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. Oh, wow. Now that you put yourself out. That is funny. Oh, I can't believe you did it, but I'm proud of you. Okay.
Hey, I'm not saying it.
I know, but hey. But I do want to, I was thinking about this when I said, hey, I got to talk about this being, what, one-on-one and fourth season. And I always, every season, I periodically give Q and B their props for helping me start my first episode. And then I was like, man, you know what? Tatiana actually introduced me to the podcast world in 2018 when we did our podcast. And I said, you know, how fitting it would be to just say, hey, I appreciate you, you know, because especially back then, you did all the work behind the scenes. All I did was just go on there and I think I was the comic relief. Oh, I tried to be the comic relief, but, you know, I have dry humor sometimes. But, yeah, you put in a lot of work in, so I want to give you your props, too. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, those were fun times.
They really were. They really were. So now we're going to get a little serious now. So, well, not serious, inquisitive. Last time you were on, you mentioned I don't know if you said complex faith or spirituality, but people were telling me, well, asking me, you know, what was she talking about? Tell me. And so I said, well, let me ask T. And I think you even hinted that you would be open to expounding on it at the next time you came on.
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I'm just at a place where, because I think, you know, last time we were on here, I was talking about, like, being raised missionary Baptist. Well, I don't know if I specified,
yeah,
you know, that, but being raised missionary Baptist and then getting to a place where I started to question, and then getting to another place where I started, like, going to church again. I got baptized and all of that. And for that period of time, like, faith and church was, like, really big in my life for, like, a good solid 4 years. Like, I got to a place where I was, like, leading discussions in Sunday school and, like, all of that. Yeah. And it was, like, a really, you know, and so now I'm at a place where I'm just, like, I guess when I say, like, I have a complex relationship or whatever I said, it's because I don't even know where I am anymore. Like, there were times where I could, like, really say where I was, like, oh, I was at a place growing up where I was, you know, in the church and whatever, whatever. And then I was at a place where I identified as a young person as atheist for a while. Then I got to a place where I was like, yeah, like when when I said I was kind of confronting my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you. And then I got to a place where I was like, you know, in church and like, it was really, really like a big part of my life. And now I'm at a place where I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know. Like, people will hear me say, like, oh, the universe a lot when I'm talking about just, like, a higher power or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know. And, like, you've commented on the fact that I use a lot of, like, Christian words when I'm talking about things. Yeah. Like, oh, speaking something into existence or, like, even last time when I'm like being equally yoked or like stuff like that, like that kind of stuff but I'm just like, I'm at a place where I'm like, I don't know I don't know where I am in my journey anymore. I'm not an atheist. I'm not really like religious, I don't think, because I think the religion is about doing the rituals and all of that. And so I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I've had some actual experiences that have led me to not be able to say, like, can I share a couple of stories?
Always, always.
What am I allowed to say? Okay. So I remember when I was going to church back in that period of time where I was going for like years, and I was transitioning again from being somebody who identified as atheist to suddenly now I'm going back to church again, and I'm reading scriptures, and I'm like, and I was just exploring because I had originally went there to admonish the bishop. Mm-hmm. But then I'm exploring, and I remember, for instance, there was a time where during like a Bible study where there was we were talking about a scripture that talked about having the faith of a mustard seed, I think.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then later, so mind you, I'm a freshman in undergrad at this point. And I'm a very studious person. And so I had this rule when I was in undergrad that I would not miss more than 3 sessions of a class in a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I was like in a lot of pain. Like I had this like really strong pain in my side. It was hurting me so bad. And I always go to class. And so, but it was so bad that I was like, I'm not going to go to class today. And so I stayed in bed. Later that day, I had to go to work though. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work. But I was like in so much pain. I'm on the bus. I'm doubled over. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is hurting me so bad. And I remember that scripture about having the faith of a mustard seed. And I said, you know what? If there is a God, I'm going to ask God to reveal themselves to me. I'm going to pray about this pain in my side. And so I started praying, just like, please take this pain away, you know, da, da, da. As I was walking, mind you, I had gotten off the bus and I'm just walking to the library where I worked and the pain went away. It had been plaguing me the entire day. Then in that moment, I'm like, you know what? Faith of a mustard seed. I'm going to pray about this. And it went away immediately. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and so like, I cannot say that there is no, because I have had actual experiences.
Yes.
I remember there was another time. The reason why I got baptized, actually, I don't even remember what I was going through in my life, but I remember I was going through something really tough, and I said a prayer, and I was like, if you can get me through this, if you can solve this issue for me, which I wish I could remember what it was, I am going to get baptized. What happened? That issue was resolved, like, quickly, post-haste, to where I knew that it was an answer to my prayer.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I promised, and so I got baptized. And so, like, I've had these experiences and so to the point that I'm like, I have some kind of relationship.
Yeah.
I just can't really articulate and put a finger on what that is for somebody. Because, like, I don't go to church on a regular basis. And, like, I have issues with a lot of things that people who do identify. So even when I went on Easter and when I took Micah, because he turned 1 month on Easter, I made sure I went to like a really open-minded and progressive church on purpose. Mm-hmm. Because like I have issues with some of the things that come out, but I'm like, but I have something because I've had these experiences that nobody can, that you couldn't explain that to me. Can you explain that to me?
That's right. That's right.
So it's just like, I just don't have words. So it's like, if somebody was to say like, oh, I need a Christian woman, I don't know that I would be able to be like, that's me, but I have something.
Yeah. And I think that's the majority. The thing about the Christian faith is that, and I think I shared on the previous episodes, how people in other faiths, they outwit many of us with their knowledge of the Bible. They'll have more in this. I'm not going to say understanding. I'll say they know the verbiage in the Bible better than many Christians. And we don't spend that time like we should sometimes. And so I love, because you actually just gave some really good examples of having faith and things coming into fruition. And also the beginning of a relationship, right? It sounds like you're, I don't want to say crawling, but just you're new, your relationship is, just hasn't blossomed yet. And so I was going to ask you, like, reading, and I don't want to feel like I'm putting you on the spot on here, but I was going to ask about, like, reading the Bible or just praying and meditating on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. To me, that's where it begins, right?
Yeah, I have not, I can't say that I've really read scripture in a long time. Yeah. Like, there was a period of time where I was, where I was really actively going to church. Now mm-hmm. I kind of go to church if I'm invited, for the most part.
Gotcha.
But at that time, I was, like, reading scripture on a regular basis. But now, I feel like there's been, no, I know that sometime recently I had looked up something for some reason, but I can't remember what it was. It's kind of, sometimes you just do things, like, if I think I needed to remember it to talk about it now, then I would maybe have remembered it. But I think it just really hurt me when I was telling that story last time I was on about how, like, my church was, like, putting out these, like, what I felt like was, like, political statements and stuff that was just, like, you don't need to do this, or just being in situations where I just felt like there was so much judgment, kind of going back to this story earlier about people judging me about what I'm going through right now as a new parent with my pets and everything, but people just being so judgmental about, like, the way that somebody was to dress, or, like, different things they're doing in their life that's, like, not hurting anybody. And that kind of behavior is just, like, I think that kind of stuff just, like, hurt me, even though it wasn't really directed at me, to be, like, I can't be in proximity to this behavior that feels hateful to me, actually. To the point that now I'm like, I don't even, like, it would have to be an environment that really felt really aligned for me to feel comfortable, you know, bringing that back into my life. I have said, like, if I were to get into a relationship, like a serious relationship with somebody who that was really important to them, like, mm-hmm. I would go, especially if we were, like, raising children together, like, I would, because of wanting to be a united front, like, go together so we could have our family, like, if it's important to them that our family be raised in a certain way, like, I would be willing to do that. But, like, just for me, I just feel like it would have to be a presence, a space that just felt like love, yeah, and not like hate. Because when it feels like hate, I'm like, I just can't even welcome that. And well, some places that are supposed to... Sorry?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, just these spaces that I feel like are supposed to feel loving and welcoming and open and, like, warm, just feel hateful. And I'm just like, no, I don't like that.
I totally agree with you. And you know, we've been friends for a while, so you know I have those same feelings, but I will add, why can't you create that environment?
What?
You
know, because,
seriously, because, so one, understanding the word, learning it, building on that relationship with God, and then you facilitate that environment. Because, I mean, Jesus, when he was walking on earth, that's what he was doing. He was condemning those who demonstrated that elitist attitude, and people who were versed on, you know, scripture. They knew the history. They knew, you know, they could recite words. They could pray with eloquence. And they were given abundance of tithes, but their hearts weren't in the right place. And that's what, you know, Jesus was talking about from day one. And so I think all of us, you know, the Great Commission, all of us have been called to do this, to minister. And so we create that environment. We need more people like you who want to see the love for our neighbors and the love for God. And so as long as we sit back and allow that structure, that organization that people say turns them away from the church, will continue to exist, right?
You're going to make me cry. Can you stop?
No, seriously. And the other thing, you know, when you mentioned the universe, I'm going to just throw this out here, because you said yourself you prayed and you saw things come into fruition. So two things to think about. The first, we always say, and the Bible talks about giving honor to God. And so to some, when we say universe, we kind of take away his honor. Because I'm almost certain you recognize, hey, I prayed to God and it happened. And then the other thing I'll say is that there are like, you know, other forces out there, demonic forces. And so when you say the universe, you could be, and when I say you, I mean in general, the general person, when they not intentionally, but when you say the universe, it could also include, it's inclusive. And so it could mean those forces too, right?
Perhaps. I would hope that if I am moving and walking in love.
What you said too?
Huh?
What you say that again?
I said I would hope, I said perhaps, but I would hope that if I'm moving and walking in love that I would not be drawing demonic energy to me.
No, not drawing to you, not net, but you're going back to what I said about giving honor and glory. And so when we say the universe, and I'm saying we, I'm not trying to target one person. When we say the universe, are we acknowledging God to the fullest, or are we saying the universe could mean all kind of forces? So are we giving, we're taking away from God and we giving to other forces. Am I making sense or no?
You're making sense. I think my pushback, and maybe I don't know what you mean when you say mm-hmm. that, because like in one context, we're talking about a prayer. Like
those
experiences I shared was an actual prayer. Like I was intentionally trying to communicate. And these other situations, I'm just kind of speaking. I'm just kind of like, you know, well, if it's, you know, like if I was trying to say like if something was meant to be, you know, or something like that, then I might be talking about like in the universe or something like that. Or if I was like, I don't know, it's just not like a communication channel. I'm not like directly like trying to channel towards any one thing. I'm just kind of speaking about like the forces that be, or just like if something were to happen or something like that. And so I don't know if it's quite, I haven't been in a space where I have deliberately tried to have a channel of communication in a long time. And,
I hear you.
And again, it kind of goes back to that same scripture that I was mentioning earlier. Like, I don't know where my faith is right now. And so I'm like, if I were to try to say a prayer right now, do I have that mustard seed? And so that's why I'm just kind of like, I haven't tried to open that channel of communication. I do ask other people to pray for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they have that. Like my sister, mm-hmm. I'm like, pray for me. Or my mom, I might be like, pray for me. Like somebody who I feel like they will get an answer, I'm like, pray for me. But I haven't tried to pray for myself in a long time.
That's a lot. Because you and I, it's funny, all these years, we never had the deep this discussion, and we decide to have it now. It is,
you decided to have it now.
No, you led, you ended the last time you were on with complex spirituality, and people started asking me.
Okay, so the listeners decided we were gonna have it.
And then honestly, I think I did make a comment too, like, maybe and then we were running out of time and we said, okay,
we'll talk about it. You said you're going to say that at the end or something like that.
Yeah.
So again, it was you. Yeah.
I don't know. I think like, especially for me as a friend, the best thing I can do is just, you know, demonstrate Jesus' love as much as possible. Not saying that I'm perfect by any means, but you know, showing grace, being, you know, there and, you know, things like that. So, because the one thing when someone says what you say, first, I appreciate the transparency because you didn't have to really open your world up to everyone like you just did. You could have faked the funk or just said, hey, I don't want to talk about it. But the biggest thing is for me or no one else to come in and judge you and try to beat you over the head with it. So,
well, let's hope that the comments are nice then. Now you making me feel like I should have held back or something. Like, that's not even my first instinct. When somebody asks me a question, my first instinct is just to answer the question.
No, I've never known you to hold back.
No. I don't even, I would have to be really trying hard to do that.
I guess, I don't know. I do wonder, like, is it from what I'm gathering, you're seeing people who do and say things that contradict the love that Jesus said we should demonstrate. And is that, it sounds like that is some of your holdback.
Yeah, that is some of my holdback. I feel like I can't be affiliated with a group of people who are just being, the way you said it is nice. What I'm saying is hateful. Like, just hateful energy. I'm just like, mm-hmm. why? I just feel like it takes, in my opinion, it takes more energy and more effort to be hateful than to be kind, than to be considerate, than to be loving. And so I'm just like, when you're putting your energy, you're choosing to direct your energy towards negative forces like that, it's just like, I can't be affiliated with you. Like, I cannot tie myself to anything that is like that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be affiliated with that. I don't want to move in a way. You are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And when I was going to church, I was really like, these are people that I'm seeing at least on Sundays for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Then on other nights of the week for different like Bible study or other things like that, or women's groups or whatever. Then where I might be inviting them to my home for dinner, they're inviting me to, we're having different like these are people who are like really, really deeply in my life. And so, and if you're really a part of your church community, that's how I think it should be. So if you guys are having like the kind of net, I'm just like, I cannot have that. Yeah. I can't have that. Like, just negativity or hateful energy, I can't have that. So I'm just like, and I don't want to be affiliated with an entity or an organization that even deliberately puts that out into the, I was about to say the universe again, puts that out there in society.
I hear you. I hear you. So I would, you know, and I'm, again, we're not making this the Tatiana intervention show at all.
Well, before you say what you're going to say right now, I want to ask you from what you were saying earlier, when you were saying create that, what does creating that look like?
So I think, you know, we talk about the Great Commission, but I think that there's ministries and everything that if we see. So you're a professor. So even as a professor, there's a ministry in that, the way you teach. And so the first step is really work on that one-on-one relationship between you and God. And that means reading the Bible, praying, and gaining your own insight and your own knowledge and understanding. And I'll tell you, for me, I try not to tell, because everyone's journey is different, but what really helped me more than anything else, and I've had people on the show and regular, some of my other co-hosts, they can recite the Bible. I've always been impressed by people like that. I've never been one to recite. I can't tell you, hey, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but I usually can tell you the book and somewhat of an understanding, but I really lean my hat on the four gospels over anything else. And so the four gospels really enlighten us in the sense of the love that Jesus demonstrated, his instructions. To me, if you follow that, you really get the essence and of what Christianity is all about. And so when you have that understanding, then whatever you're doing, whether you're teaching, whether you're doing police work, whether you're actually being a minister, you are now in a position where you are demonstrating the love that Jesus said we should demonstrate. And you're showing people, you're being a light. So they're seeing you. They're seeing Tatiana. People, and I'm really not trying to make it about me, but I would just say that people would come to me in confidence with certain things when they knew I didn't have to say, hey, I'm a Christian, by the way, or I'm a minister. I never had to say any of that. But when you demonstrate that type of behavior, then people are drawn to you and they know. And
people already drawn to me.
Huh?
I said people already drawn to me.
Because they probably see something in you that you don't really see in yourself yet.
Wow.
I mean, we all have purpose. And I'm not just talking about professional. I mean, spiritual purpose. And part of our goal, part of that full actualization is identifying what that purpose is. So I think it speaks volumes that you gave that story. I never heard it about you praying it and you're seeing things come into fruition, because that speak to me, that just says a lot about, number one, you and the potential of what, just imagine your relationship really evolving with God and those prayers and the manifestation then. Wow.
Well, maybe my purpose was Micah, because you already told me when I gave him this biblical name and just came to my spirit, you think he's going to be a spiritual leader one day.
Yep, I did. So we just don't, you know, I love the journey myself, and I just love seeing people get closer and really, especially when you're comfortable really acquiring that purpose and that, and it's not about titles, it's about assignment, right? So, but yeah, now I forgot what I was going to ask you. What were we talking about when you said, let me ask you this? I can't remember.
I mean, it was something in this general.
Yeah, we're at the 40-minute mark now.
Sorry.
And but we have our guest, gospel singer, Kimberly Cartwright, coming up. But I always, hey, anything you want to say before we, I think it was a pretty cool discussion myself.
I just want to say, people in the comments, be nice. Don't come for me. I did not send for you. Okay.
Hey, they're not coming for you. People who listen here, man, we have, both of my listeners are really cool.
Okay, cool.
Did you catch that?
You said both, yes. See, I know it's more than that.
I give you good material to laugh at, and I don't get the laughs like I thought I should.
What? Okay, do it again.
You're going to be like slapping your okay, knee.
Say it again. Say the joke again. No. Are you going to say it?
Both my listeners.
Hilarious. Oh my goodness. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah, you're supposed to be my the Arsenio Hall to my Eddie Murphy.
I gotta be Arsenio Hall.
Cause he would always go crazy and laugh at Eddie jokes to kind of enhance the show, you know. So
I'm the Shirley to your Steve Harvey, because you know she be.
Yeah, there it is. I like that, yeah. But hey man, it's always great talking to you and seeing Micah.
Yeah, he's so curious, he's looking dead at the screen. He like,
yep. All right y'all, when we come back, Kimberly Cartwright. Listen, you have to get a taste of Treats of the Realm, man. Two sisters who love making treats for special occasions, or if you just want to treat yourself, hey, listen, you can find them on Facebook, you can find them on IG, or you can email them at treatsoftherealm@gmail.com, or give them a call, 910-322-3667, Treats of the Realm. Beautiful people, welcome back to the Unknown Preacher LA, the show where we talk life, faith, purpose, and everything in between. Again, I'm your host, LA, and today we got someone truly special joining us. She's a powerful voice in gospel music, a woman of deep faith, and someone who's bringing that soul and spirit to the gospel music industry. Please welcome the amazing Kimberly Cartwright. How are you, Kimberly?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us, man. I appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So again, thanks for being here. But for people who might not know you yet, how would you describe yourself?
I would describe myself as a creative, family-oriented person. Like, I love family. I'm big on family. I have a husband and two children of my own. Awesome. I'm just real huge on family, family first.
Yes.
And then I am all around big on anything art, especially music. A lot of people don't realize that music is a thing of art. And I'm just an open person who is just, I guess you could say, curious when it comes to the things of life in general. That's who I am. And I love the Lord. Amen.
Amen to that, my sister. Amen. Now, how old are the little ones?
Okay, so my baby boy, Cameron, he is 9. He'll be 10 in August. Mm-hmm. And my baby girl, Harmony, she is 6, and she'll turn 7 in January.
Oh, love the names. Do you see a touch of musical talent, singing in them?
So, yes, my baby girl, she's something else, you know. She has a mixture of mommy and daddy. Now, my husband's from the island, so they have a different style of music. So, she is open. She's more like mommy when it comes to that, I guess you say, because she's open to it all. She's open to any type of music, any genre, anything like that. She's tapped into her talent show phase, if you get it, you get it. You know, and she likes to sing and perform for us. My son is more of a gamer. Uh-huh. He's more of a gamer and a soccer player, but he can sing. He just don't. Don't tell me sing as if mommy say, come on, baby, sing with me. Like, he used to mimic me when I was, when he was little. And I had him sing what I sing, and he could do it very well. So he could sing. He just, one of those cooler boys right now, he in that stage right now. I'm all, no. Let me play Fortnite. You know what I'm saying? Give me a soccer ball. I'm not finna. No.
Man, that's awesome. I love music. I wish I could sing. Can't carry a note, man.
You know, it's all right.
So what got you into gospel music? Was it something you were... Were you singing in church as a child, or?
Yes. So I'm a PK. So it was, that's not even a question, a thought. I grew up in it, literally. Yeah. I was born in it. I had my first solo when I was 4, literally 4 years old.
Wow.
At a mega church in Greensboro, North Carolina, Evangel Fellowship on Balboa Street. Listen, when I say it was in my life at a young age, I mean that thing. Like, I was a baby traveling with my mom, singing with John P. Key. My granddaddy, he was a preacher. He was singing all the time. My granddaddy never said my name. My name is Kimberly, but he called me Jasmine, but that's another story. But he sang. My dad sang. So I was born into it. I'm around it all the time. It wasn't a question or anything for me. I ain't had no choice.
Man. So what was it like being that young? You said you were with John P. King. You said 4 years old. What did that feel like?
So first off, I didn't really understand. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what a calling was. I didn't understand nothing about no mantle. I didn't really understand at that age what I was really doing, if that makes sense. I mean, I knew I was singing, but I didn't understand it at that age. I just knew my mom did it a lot. Again, my mom traveled a lot. She traveled with the High Point University Community Choir, Japanese Key. You know, her godmother was also a pastor, Pastor Nancy Wilson. So me being at that young age, it felt good. Mm-hmm. I was a little shy back then. I know that sounds crazy. I was shy back then. And, you know, to think about it, I would be like, girl, oh, my God. Like, I was real shy back then. My mama used to have to make me. Like, I had to get a whooping. I was not. I knew I could sing. You couldn't tell me I couldn't sing. That was something that I just happened. And that's not to boost me or anything like that. Because, again, I was nervous as heck. And I really didn't want to do it. But when I sang, I felt good. Yeah. It made me feel good. I just didn't understand it at that age.
Wow. That's very, very interesting. Now, let's talk about your songs. And so, what's your inspiration behind them? Is it like life experiences, scripture, prayer? Tell us about that.
All three you just said.
Wow.
Cover Us came to me when, let's see, my baby girl is six. So, I wrote this song right around the time she was born. So about 6 years
How long ago was that?
Like 6 years ago.
Wow.
When you are an artist, now let me say this, I'm an old school artist. It's a difference. Now I'm not knocking none of the new school, but I'm an old school artist where they took time with their craft.
Yeah.
They studied it, they lived it. When it came to their pencil, what they wrote is what was really happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cover Us for me is what was happening. I needed God to cover me in that moment. I was going through postpartum depression. You know, I was in a church. It was a lot of stuff going on at the church I was at the time. Nothing bad, and I'm not going to say good. I was experiencing things that I've never had before in ministry. Let me say that. That's beautiful. I like that. But I was experiencing things because a lot of people, even in saying that, you know how people say, you know, your church hurt and things like that. You know, God taught me, you know, about the whole church hurt thing. If you say church hurt and you find out what church is, church are the people. We are the church. So that's a man thing. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, I was going through a lot at that time. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I was all over the place, you know, and I can boldly say that, you know, some people are scared to, you know, bluntly speak about certain problems that they have in life and things like that. But when it comes to me, I'm not scared or shame or anything like that, because it's something that God gave to me, and it was a lesson out of it, and I birthed a lot out of it. Like, I birthed a lot. My life became better through that moment of struggle, and again, that was 6 years, and I was writing, and the verses kept changing, and, you know, writing and erasing and writing and erasing. I thought I had finally had it, and then something else happened. I had to go back, you know what I'm saying? And then around COVID time, I had realized also, because that was what, 2019? Yeah, my baby girl, she was born in 2019. Then it came with isolation. And I said, oh my God, it was things that was happening, not just with me, but in the world that had never happened before.
Yeah.
And that's when it literally was coming to me like, okay, like, cover me. I was saying, cover me. Cover me, cover me, cover me. And then it changed to cover us. Because it wasn't just me going through stuff. And I have to, people have to realize that, you know, you're not the only person going through things. You know what I mean? We don't know the extent of how deep your problems might be, but there's always somebody out there worse than you.
Amen.
So when I was saying, cover me, cover me, cover me, I had to sit there. I did pray. I did have scriptures. And then God gave me us, just us. And then while, you know, I was singing, cover me, cover me, us came into play. And I was like, oh, this is not a stingy prayer. This is not a kept prayer. This is a worldwide prayer. This is a cover us. This is like cover my sister and brother in Christ. Like, we need you for real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this ain't even just a me thing. I don't even, I can't even say it's just me because I can see it. Like, we can see that we all need you right now. Like, we all need God. All of us. The ones that are unsure about you, the ones that don't really know, all we all need you. Ain't nobody excluded from this. That's where Cover Us came about, and it was so touching. I have a lot of people tell me now, you know, oh my God, just the words of the song in itself. And uh-huh. If you listen to it in the beginning, it says, Jesus, we are calling on you, not me.
Yeah.
We are calling you. We have made so many mistakes. Been back and forth trusting you is one of my favorite lines because, you know, us as Christian, you know, they say, oh, you don't need to be, you can't be lukewarm, you can't be, but, you know, God wants us. He don't want us to be perfect. He didn't make us to be perfect. He knew we was going to be messed up. That's why he sent his precious only begotten son to die on the cross for me because he knew we was going to be screwed up. You know what I mean? Mm. Our job is to try. That's our job. Our job is to give him praise and try. Because if you repent daily, you all right. You understand what I'm saying? Repent daily, acknowledge him daily, and you will be okay. But I think a lot of people be so deep about the situation. So when I wrote that, we go back and forth trusting you, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. And my example I always do is when you lose a loved one, especially somebody close to like a mom, a dad, a grandma or whatever, you can't tell me you ain't never said to yourself, God, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in awe and in confusion, because why would you take that most precious thing from me? You know?
Yeah.
So we literally be back and forth trusting him at times. It's almost like we second guess him because the human us, that's what we're doing. The human us. Now, everybody is not deeply spiritual as some. We have some spiritual babes and things like that. And that's okay too because, you know, we perish for the lack of knowledge. But if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's why I be telling people,
this episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
Here today, when it comes to being a Christian and they look at other people that's in the world, it's a difference from us being in church and knowing the Lord than somebody out there who don't know church and who don't know God. Mm. It's a big difference because the ones that don't even know him, don't understand or whatever, I'll be the very ones that be in heaven and you'll be confused to why they made it and you didn't. The difference is you knew they didn't.
Huh. Well, you just put a whole lot out there, man. First, seriously, I really appreciate the realness that you always bring to the conversation. You keep it 100. I also was thinking about what you said about the postpartum depression. That's something that we have really failed to really spotlight for so long. And we really need to, just listening to you is like, okay, I have to do a show on that eventually. My co-host before you came on, Tatiana, she has a newbie herself right now. You think about that and wonder, you just never know. It doesn't discriminate. You don't know if you're going to be impacted by that or not. So, and then the other thing, you said you were old school, but you're fairly young. So I'm going to say, do you contribute that to how your upbringing? You said you were singing at 4 years old with like your mom and her mentor, John P. Key. So all these people who are like traditionalists. Is that why you say you're old school?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The way I was raised, the way I was taught is all old school. I am a pen and paper kind of sort. Like,
wow.
I do a lot of stuff on that. Cover Us is literally in my notebook with a pencil.
Really? I don't even write with a pen and pad anymore.
I do it because it's therapeutic for me.
Gotcha.
Writing it down, seeing it, it's very therapeutic. I could change anything when I want to change. I could always go back to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though in the record is one way, if I got my notepad, you know, I can change it for the time being for whatever situation I'm in, you know, I like my notebook.
Yeah.
My handy dandy notebook. It gets me through a lot, you know. It's a stress reliever. And again, I take her to the studio with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, now I do believe in being studio ready and things like that, but I also believe in the atmosphere in the studio. Like when I go in the studio, my atmosphere gotta be right. I'm not finna I can't I can't do it. I really can't. I can write in a studio. I can go in there, get my pen and paper and write. It's just how I was raised, what I was raised around. So
wow, that's dope. And so I'm glad you talked about Cover Us, and you added so much to the lyrics now. I'm going to go back and even listen a little more intentively now. So I appreciate that. Let's talk about your faith. How does your faith, like, guide you both in your music and day-to-day life?
My faith. Boy, I got some strong faith.
Yes.
You know what's crazy? Even with faith, I didn't trust it. Now, this is bold, but I didn't trust faith at a time being.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's kind of like one of those things when you have a preacher,
mm-hmm.
and they preach in a sermon or whatever, but you have to know the word for yourself.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with faith. Faith for me has become actually my best friend. It's kind of like when they say have a faith the size of a mustard seed, that thing is serious. You understand me? Because mm-hmm. I don't be seeing nothing. I don't be knowing where. I don't know where anybody come from. Jesus. I'll be like, all right, Jesus. Like, I talk to God just like I'm having a conversation with you. I talk to him just like that. I'll be like, All right, Lord, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I can't see it, but I trust you. You told me to have faith. That's what I'm going to have. I don't know. I have to talk to myself, and I will literally make myself laugh or do something to get me in the stage of peace and happiness
mm-hmm.
because I am stepping out on faith. Like, it's like, All right, Lord, you the Lord, right? You said step out of faith. It's in your hand. I trust you for real. We gonna see, you know. And it sounds like, oh, you testing the Lord. It's not really that, but this is what he wants you to do. He wants you to literally lean on him so he can show you his miracles, literally. He wants to show you. And so I have learned. Cover Us was faith, honey. Cover Us was faith. What do you mean? Now, I'm not knocking nobody who do this, but let me break this down. There's a lot of people out here in the music industry who have, it's this thing. You see a lot of people do it. It's like they'll post something, and if they want to do a project or whatever, hey, they'll do a GoFundMe, or I need 10 people to do this. I need 10 people to do that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not knocking nobody that do that. But my faith came in when God said, do you trust me? If you trust me, Cover Us is going to be released.
Yeah.
I ain't tell you to make no post and ask nobody for nothing, because if you trust me, I'm going to fund it. If you really trust me, it's going to happen. No matter what it looked like, to you, no matter may seem like to you, no matter what it may feel like to you, if you say you trust me and you trust me wholeheartedly, why are you worried?
That means you don't trust me. That means you don't have faith. Baby, listen. I was scared. I was nervous. And that's, again, that's a human, that's my human side. I was nervous, but my spirit man was strong about it because he said to me, don't worry about it. He was like, I took you through it. You called on my name. We sat down together. I was with you through this whole process of you needing covering, and I gave you exactly what you needed. But you're not the only one who needs covering. My people needs covering too. Amen. I'm going to take care of it. The money, taken care of. This releasing songs and stuff ain't cheap, y'all. It ain't cheap. It ain't easy. I did it independently, and I did it very quiet. There was not a whole lot of people, hands and covers. If you look at my credits, it's two people up there. I am the writer, and I have my producer.
Wow.
That's it. That's all.
And who's your producer?
EJ Stewart. He is my producer, my big brother, and I appreciate him so much. I feel like he's an old school producer as well. He's very bold in what he has taught me about the industry and so much more. If I was lacking, he told me I was lacking. You know what I'm saying? If I ain't sound right, he told me I ain't sound right. You know, you need people like that. You don't want to have somebody to be a yes man just because they want the funds. Just because you paid me to produce this, okay, you come in here, you sing, you do whatever. I don't care if you sound like a chicken, I got my money, it's all right. That's not what I got from him. He cared, you know what I mean? And I really, really appreciate that, you know. Very dope producer. Will I be back? Absolutely.
I love it. You're all right with me. So, we know our walk with God. You touched on some of this, finding our purpose. All of this is a journey. What's something God has been teaching you lately?
Patience. Patience. Learning how to be quiet. And peace. Patience. Learning how to be quiet and peace. He has been teaching me how to be at peace with another thing, with me stepping out on faith and things. Like, he is teaching me how to be at peace and teaching me how to get my house in order and my house at peace. Not just me. Me and my husband are one. Mm-hmm. Baby, if I'm at peace, you got to be at peace. I can't be at peace and you stress. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So allowing me to be at peace, my husband being at peace, my children being at peace, making sure that my household or situations are okay, hearing the voice of God, and learning to be quiet in so many aspects of life. When it comes to certain things, you don't always have to talk. You don't always have to respond. Sometimes you can literally just sit there and watch God work.
But tell me. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You got it.
No, I was going to say the learning how to be quiet. I really want you to expound on that because it means different things. Like when I heard you say that, two things came in my head and I just want to confirm or get clarity.
Studying to be quiet for me is, again, learning how to make God loud in the dark places. I'll give an example. Boy, I'm real bold today, Kim. I think it's a God ordained thing because he also has taught me to be open so people could actually understand. But I'll give an example. We have bills. Bills can be okay sometimes. It might not be okay. We have people in this light, like social media. Social media has an illusion that everything's okay. For a lot of people. But sometimes we struggle with bills. We struggle with grief. We struggle with depression. We struggle with finances. We struggle with our pastors. We struggle with the church.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that I just named are dark places for us. And we are scared in a way, so scared to where we allow the enemy to speak to us. And we move too soon, or we speak and we move off of our emotions, which now makes the situation worse. Whereas if we was just be still, be quiet, and know that he's God, we would be all right. Like, we wouldn't be in the situation that we in. If we literally just sat there, sometimes I do this, go in the dark, and I'll sit there. A lot of people are like, Kim, why you like the dark so much? For some reason, it's peaceful to me.
Yeah.
And in the dark, for me, I'm not in the dark. I'm in the light. It's almost like I'm in the lighthouse. Because when I get in the dark, I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing at all. I can sit there, and I mean, not really just thinking, but allowing him to have his way with me. Amen. Literally having his way with me. I don't need no music. You know, some people have to have music. Oh, let me set the atmosphere. That is my atmosphere. He is my atmosphere when I am able to. And I feel like that is very nurturing. A lot of people don't know how to be by themselves, and a lot of people don't know how to just be still or be quiet. We don't know how to be quiet.
Yeah.
In so many places, you know, it's either we always have to have a response, we always have to move, and when we move immaturely, and things that could have been better become worse because we didn't take the time to just be still and be quiet. We allow the noise of the world to get in our head.
Deep. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So what's a day in your life like when you're not singing and recording?
I wake up in the morning. I get the babies ready for school. I teach my babies to have a relationship with God. So I taught them a prayer, and they have to say that prayer by themselves. Mommy don't pray with them anymore. My baby girl, she's still learning, but Norm, she's caught on too. They have a day morning prayer, and they have a night prayer. They also, my son has got to the point where when he's talking to God, he know how to go to God for himself. The other day, my mom wasn't feeling good or whatever. And I said, Cameron, Nana not feeling good. Go ahead and pray for your Nana. And he said, okay. And I allow him to do it with his words, because God know what he's saying, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
So I allowed him to pray for his Nana so that when I'm not around him or when I'm not around them, I can be confident in knowing that if something goes wrong, my kids can call on God and Jesus for themselves. So I get them up in the morning, brush your teeth, you know, daily routine, wash your face, do things like that. Then, you know, they say their prayer, then they get off on the bus. Yeah. I'm technically a stay-at-home wife, technically. Mm-hmm. So I do housey things, business things, bookings. I take care of all of that. I take my husband to work, make sure he is taken care of. I do Uber every now and then on the side. You know, I do Uber every now and then. I check on my people. I am a very supportive friend. So if there's a time that a friend is in need of me, I'm there. I read my Bible. If a lyric and or a song come to me, I start writing. I clean up. You know what I mean? It really just depends, because even me being an independent artist, I'm always doing something. Yeah. Literally. I'm always doing something. But normally my day-to-day life consists of me being a mommy, me being a wife, and me also being a praise and worship leader, meaning getting songs ready for Sunday and or Saturday. If we have something like a funeral or a wedding to sing that, making sure I'm getting all that together. Typically, I do those things on Mondays and Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. I like to have my book for Sunday or practice sent out on Monday or Tuesday, nothing less. I need everybody to be prepared when we're going to practice. Amen.
Amen.
Talk to the musicians, things like that. So, I mean, I'm a businesswoman in all aspects, but I'm definitely my household comes first. My husband and my children come first. So on a day-to-day routine, I take care of my man and my babies.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So who's your favorite gospel singer?
This might be a shock to some people, and they probably like, why are you just saying that? My mom is actually my favorite gospel singer. And I know you're like, what?
So no.
My mom is my favorite gospel singer because she has healing in her voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I cry like a baby when I hear my mom sing. Thinking about it, and I was raised on her voice. I would say Pastor Nancy Wilson is another one. Mm-hmm. These people are all people I've raised around. You know, I've seen their actual lives. Now, do I have a famous artist that I absolutely love? Of course I do. I love Donald Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I'm a choir head. I'm also a part of a professional choir as well. I love Donald Lawrence, Richard Smallwood. I'm a Clark Sisters fan, big fan. I love Dorinda Down because she's a jazz. She has a jazz thing with her. So I absolutely love and adore Dorinda. And another artist that might shock everybody is Jill Scott.
Interesting.
I love Jill Scott, and a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you're a Christian artist, and I am an artist.
Yeah.
I'm an artist. There are no barriers when it comes to being an artist, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. Yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I am. But being an artist has nothing to do with my love for God, because I love God all around. I went to school for music. When I was in school, I sang jazz. I was in a jazz band, blues. Yeah. I sung opera. I was in the university choir. I was in a choir, regular choir. You know, I have sung all genres of music. I think what people fail to realize is, and what hurts them the most, is when they try to mix the two. It's not so much as mixing the two. When you know who you are and whose you are, you're good. I promise you. But when you try to bring the world into the gospel, or gospel into the world, that's when that problem starts happening. But I love Jill Scott because of her artistry. Like, she is very poetic.
Uh-huh.
And I appreciate how she breaks down her music. Like, she's a genius. I know her. I know she got a notebook. I know she got a notebook. Now, I don't have an idol. I don't believe in idols or anything like that. I don't have an idol, but I appreciate her work. I really do. I appreciate her work. Have I ever heard her in person? I have. I love her tone quality. I love how she outlines her music. Like, I love her work. Mm-hmm. Of course, the other ones that I named, I grew up on them. You know what I mean? But I love Jill Scott for her artistry. I absolutely love Jill Scott. Stevie Wonder is another. Listen, and it ain't because he's blind, but I tell people this all the time. I said, baby, he is a living testimony. What do you mean? Do you hear this man sing? He has no eyes. He has no sight, but he has the other activities of his limbs. And he did not let the blindness really hinder the gift that God blessed him with. Like, he didn't let that hinder him. He became one of the biggest, artists out there, and he can't see nothing.
Yeah.
But he can see everything spiritually.
Yeah.
But he can see everything spiritually. And I said, people are like, oh, well, he could worship the devil too. I said, he could, but I don't think it's the devil leading him, because the devil, I don't think that's the devil. And the reason why I say that is because it could have been so many times where, and this is not to say that people haven't taken advantage of him, because they probably have. You know what I'm saying? But for God to have kept him this long to become what some people would say a legend, to be where he's at today, says a lot. We have lost a lot of people in the music industry, period. And these people can see. Not trying to be funny, but yeah. We have lost a lot of people in the music industry immaturely and just early, and some would say before their time, because my belief is because they really was lost, like their spirit man was lost. Their spirit man was lost. One person I would speak on, and I don't even know her personally, but Whitney Houston, from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has a gospel background as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The Winans was very close to her. That was her godparents and her god siblings. And you got Kim Barrera that was in her corner, and, you know, all these things like that. And then you have the world. Mm-hmm. You have the world. And she became bigger. And I wouldn't say that the devil make her bigger. I really believe, you know, God allowed her to be where she's at. But I also have to put this out there that you do have a choice. You have a choice to follow God or to not follow God. You have a choice. And sometimes we could be in a situation where it's kind of like, God, I love you, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a go this way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just to test the waters. And then while you're testing the waters, you like how the water feels, so you're going to stay over there, because over here it's a little cool, but over here it feels like a jacuzzi. And now my season of feeling like I need to be in a jacuzzi, then I don't want to be cold. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But over here on this side, the water is cleaner. The water is clear. You know what I'm saying? You can see things. You can get direction over here. As for the jacuzzi, it's kind of dark. It's hot. It's warm. You know what I'm saying? It may feel like it's good, but it's not good for you. You understand what I'm saying? What is, like, the ocean? What is, now listen, I ain't slow, but I'm trying to figure out what it is. It's in the ocean. Is it like the Red Sea? They don't mix. You can see it. You know what I'm talking about? They don't mix. So one part of the ocean is like beautiful and clear, and the other part almost look like dirt. But when they come together, they can't mix. They don't mix. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Case in point, we was talking about that beach earlier. Look at the Bahamas water. Clear as day. You can see the fish and everything. But when you come over here to the States, you be like, woo, that's some dirty water. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we, the people who have put their foot or and have seen the Bahamas water and their clear water, we know what it's like. You know what I'm saying? As for people who have never been to the Bahamas and see everything, they think that the beaches and stuff over here is dope. You know, it's, hey, we good. I'm talking about my beach or whatever. But they ain't never been to a real beach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing. So, you know, I just thank God for allowing me to be me and allowing me. I thank God for his correction.
Sure.
Correction and direction. I thank God for it, because, woo, baby, back in the day, I was something else.
Oh. Well, you brought it. You brought it today. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up, I always get a floor to my guests. I want you to share with us anything. We talked about your single. If you want to talk about that more, you want to talk about your social media pages, you want to talk about upcoming events.
Yeah, so, y'all, I got a lot. But anyway, if you are interested in Kimri Cartwright, my name is exactly what it is on Facebook, Kimri, K-I-M-E-R-Y, Cartwright, C-A-R-T-W-R-I-G-H-T. You can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on Instagram, TikTok, and you will have me as Kimri Cartwright as well, or LaJoy Sings, which is LaJoieSings. If you would like to stream Cover Us or listen to Cover Us, I'm on all platforms, Spotify, I'm on YouTube, I'm on iTunes, anything that has any musical outlet, I'm up there, and you type it in. If you would like to see more than just my single, you can go on YouTube, and you have to type out my name. You have to type up Kimberly Cartwright, because if not, Kimberly gonna pop up, and we don't know her.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to type out my name, and you will see so many other things. I do more than one genre. I think last year I had a gig at a casino in Kentucky, and I did like Chaka Khan, I did Michael Jackson, things like that. I am also a choir singer. I sing with Anthony Sutton and Fresh Wind out of Raleigh, North Carolina. I am a praise and worship leader as well. New Jerusalem Community Church in Durham, North Carolina. I have a gig coming up in June the 21st. June 21st? That is for, y'all help me. It's going to be posted on my page, I promise, but it's for Juneteenth. And then with this guy right here, I have one coming up in August as well. You know what I'm saying? That flying, other things like that will also be dropping out. I also have some church gigs and stuff coming up. So you all just, you know, look out for me, and, you know, I hope that you like what you see, you know, what you saw today is who I am, baby.
Hey, amen to that, man. And I tell y'all, I talked about it a little when Tatiana was on Fruits of Artistry August 9th. Kimberly's going to be there doing her thing, man.
Come on out.
Yes, yes. Hey, my sister, I appreciate you, you know. Absolutely. Open invitation always. And I can't wait till we do this program. And God bless you, my sister.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
Amen, amen.
Have a good one.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher, hey, hey, hey. It's the unknown.